UTC right after the international news.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the March 7th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. The second season of the Men's Basketball Africa League tipped off over the weekend in Dakar, Senegal. Clubs from Guinea, Rwanda, and Tunisia won their opening games of the ball season, which will feature a total of 38 games over 3 months. Seydou Legacy Athletic Club of Guinea defeated the hometown team, Dakar Université Club, 85-70 in the first ball game on Saturday. In results Sunday, Rwanda Energy Group defeated AS Sale of Morocco 91-87, and U.S. Monastir of Tunisia topped Ferroviario de Beira of Mozambique 77-71. Monastir reached the final of last year's ball tournament before losing to Zamalek of Egypt. On Sunday, the Tunisian club was led by South Sudanese big man Atar Majak, who had 19 points, 12 rebounds, and 4 block shots. Majak was named the game's most valuable player. Let's listen in now to his post-game interview.
I mean, we just had to dig deep. You know, this wasn't an offensive game. It was going to be a defensive game. I mean, these guys, they were fighting the whole game, so we just showed our heart. That's it, you know.
And what about those two fouls that you picked up early on? Were you a little bit like sort of, you know, was coach spooked a little bit about that? Because we were getting a little bit worried. We thought, we don't want to get another one. But your defensive game was so, so important out there today. So obviously they needed you, and you played an imperious performance out there.
Thank you, thank you. I mean, the two fouls, you know, it happened. We had to set the tone. I had to set the tone that I was going to be, you know, playing physical, and the referees adjusted to it. You know, I'm not going to adjust to the other team or to the referees. They have to adjust to me. Coach believes in me. The whole team believes in me. And to be honest with you, this is a team performance. It has nothing to do with me. Everything that I put up there, it's all for the team. And, you know, we move on to the next game. We got a tough game next game.
How important was it to you guys that the fact that you were able to come back from being down just a little bit and the fact that you pick up this first win?
I mean, it's very important. You know, I think we don't have game rhythm because a lot of players are coming back from the national team and we haven't really practiced. So this is very important to get our confidence up, to get our motivation. And, you know, this is not a joke. Every team came prepared this year and we got a bullseye on our back, especially in this group. There's no Zamalek, so we're the target. So we got to protect ourselves, you know.
You got away with words. You should join us in the commentary booth pretty soon, because it's, you know, top notch. Listen, one last thing. U.S. Monastir, you got to the final last year. You set your sights to go all the way this year. I can feel it. I can hear you, and I think this is the general thoughts from the entire team. Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah. You know, we got a point to prove. Monastir is no joke. We're not coming back like last year, and we just coming, you know, we have to get the number one. It's do or die, you know, and I'm going to kill myself to get that trophy. I was really mad last year, and I'm bringing that anger back on the court until, you know, we win the trophy, so...
That South Sudanese big man, Atar Majak, of the Tunisian basketball club U.S. Monastir. And Majak was speaking in Dakar, Senegal.
Voice of America!
The Voice of America is an official broadcasting partner of the Basketball Africa League. And I hope you were able to tune in for our English radio coverage of the ball games over the weekend. Action resumes in the Basketball Africa League on Tuesday at the Dakar Arena in Senegal. In Tuesday's opening game, Seydou Legacy Athletic Club will play U.S. Monastir of Tunisia, and that will be followed by a contest between Ferroviario de Beira of Mozambique and the hometown team, Dakar Université Club.
The Basketball Africa League is back. Voice of America joins forces with Africa's premier men's basketball league to bring you the second season of the BAL. 38 games, 12 teams leaving it all on the court in Senegal, Egypt and Rwanda to determine the 2022 season champion. Tune in to VOA 24/7, FMs and to our radio and TV affiliates for some action. Pre-game, play-by-play, post-game, daily highlights, delivered by our finest commentators. Basketball Africa League 2022 on Voice of America. May the best team win.
Basketball Africa League president Amadou Gallo Fall says he wants to make Ball a place to develop talent in Africa and where players can monetize their skills without having to go somewhere else.
The BAL is a platform that is, you know, really first and foremost established to provide an opportunity for talented players from Africa not to feel like they have to go somewhere else in order to monetize their talent or to get better. I think this will bring me back to, you know, how we got here. And I was saying this the other day, when the NBA decided to open an office in Africa in 2010, when we moved there, we didn't come and say, let's start a professional basketball league. But we knew that there was a lot of work to be done before you get to that point. You have to, I think, you know, walk before you run. So we focus on the basics, you know, until we have enough critical mass. We, you know, did events, did clinics, you know, expose young people to the sport, make it accessible to the point where now, you know, we hosted NBA Africa Games. We launched the academy, and, you know, how exciting was it yesterday to see Babacar Sane from Duke and Salihu Mbaye, also from Seydou Legacy Athletic Club, play in their first game, you know, alongside and against pros. And these are players from the NBA Academy, part of the Elevate program. And this participation is designed to help their maturation. They are going to go through the development curve without needing to get out of Africa. They were scouted in Africa. They are being trained at the NBA academies. Now they are having an opportunity to play professionally right here. So that complete pathway that we set up, you know, that's really, I think, the purpose of the Basketball Africa, to be on top of the pyramid of development where you have the big base to massify and just provide access. And now you have the academy to start filtering talent, you know, percolating to the top. And at the top of the pyramid is the BAL, that is going to be a platform for players to further develop. But at the same time, everything we talk about, you know, sitting here pushing and talking about how this league can become an economic growth engine, you know, how infrastructures like this are going to continue to be developed across the continent, how tourism is going to be boosted, you know, through opportunities like this, where you have six teams in one place, people traveling in from all over Africa, you know. And as I said earlier, we already saw this, you know, people traveling in from east, west, south, and north, you know, to come to Dakar, you know, for the span of a week. Just think about what they're going to spend here, how they got here, and the impact is going to have in the local economies in Africa. So yes, for players, it's a tremendous platform for them to mature, to develop, and also to monetize their talent, but also for the countries hosting and the countries participating, you know, there is tremendous incentive.
That's Basketball Africa League President Amadou Gallo Fall. And Amadou was speaking in Dakar, Senegal. The Basketball Africa League is a partnership between the International Basketball Federation, FIBA, and the National Basketball Association, the NBA. In NBA action Sunday, Jason Tatum of the Boston Celtics and Chris Middleton of the defending champion Milwaukee Bucks both had big games. Tatum tallied a season-high 54 points as Boston beat the Brooklyn Nets 126-120. And Middleton scored a season-high 44 points to help the Bucks defeat the Phoenix Suns 132-122. The AP's Dave Ferry tells us more about the victories by Boston and Milwaukee, as well as a win by the Houston Rockets.
The Celtics won for the 13th time in 15 games by defeating the Nets 126-120. Jason Tatum scored 34 of his season-high 54 points in the second half for the Celtics, who went on a 27-9 run to go ahead 108-100.
Somebody like myself or JB can have nights like this, and it's contagious. You know, guys are hitting shots. Spreading the wealth and, making extra pass, driving and kicking.
Jaylen Brown added 21 points, including a three-pointer that gave Boston a 121-115 lead in the final minute.
Felt good, and it was a big game for us, and I knew that. Definitely wanted to come out and win against a team that's, trying to build some steam, headed to the playoffs. So, no, that was a good win for us, and I'm glad I could be a part of it.
Kevin Durant played in his second game since mid-January and scored 37 points for the Nets. Kyrie Irving joined Durant on the court for just the fourth time all season, scoring 19 in his first game in 3 weeks. The Bucks closed on a 12-1 run to beat the shorthanded Suns 132-122. Chris Middleton poured in a season-high 44 points in Milwaukee's fourth straight win, a streak that includes games against the Heat and Bulls. Jrue Holiday helped the Bucks close out the win by scoring 17 of his 24 points in the final period.
I struggled in the first half. Struggled getting to the line, struggled making jump shots, but just stay consistent, stay confident, and they started falling.
Giannis Antetokounmpo had 19 points, 13 rebounds, and 6 assists in 31 minutes before fouling out with 1:12 left.
You want to be involved. You want to be aggressive. But at the end of the day, they were rolling. They were making shots. They were feeling good. You could see they were enjoying the game. At the moment, they wasn't scared of taking a big shot, so you just got to come in and, help them in any way possible.
The Suns continue to play without all-star guards Devin Booker and Chris Paul. DeAndre Ayton had a team-high 30 points, and Campaign had 23 for Phoenix. The Rockets had dropped 12 in a row before Kevin Porter Jr. and Christian Wood carried them to a 123-112 win over the Grizzlies. Porter scored 22 of his 29 points in the second half, 19 in the third quarter.
Definitely at halftime, they chewed me out. Passing up shots and not shooting my shots that I usually shoot. And so I came out a very aggressive third quarter and the shots was falling.
Wood delivered 28 points and 13 rebounds for Houston, which trailed by 10 at halftime. Wood has scored at least 20 points in three straight games. Jalen Green added 24 points and 8 rebounds in the Rockets' first win since February 2nd. Desmond Bane scored 28 points and Ja Morant added 22 with 6 assists for Memphis. Morant has scored at least 20 points in 20 straight games. I'm Dave Ferry.
Thanks, Dave. The 5 other winners on Sunday in the NBA were the Washington Wizards, the Utah Jazz, the Cleveland Cavaliers, the Denver Nuggets, and the New York Knicks. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. I encourage our Sunny Side of Sports listeners to follow me on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Once again, my Twitter handle @VOA Sunny Sports. The 2022 FIBA Women's Basketball World Cup tips off September 22nd in Sydney, Australia. Nigeria's national team, nicknamed the Tigress, will represent Africa in the 12-nation competition. The Nigerian women are grouped with France, Serbia, Japan, Canada, and host Australia to start the tournament. To evaluate Nigeria's chances, Iron Mike Mbonye contacted the former captain of the Tigress, Stella Agu Nkwezuma.
It's actually not going to be an easy one for any of the countries in that group. Canada being ranked fourth, France fifth, Japan eighth, Australia being the host. It's not going to be an easy one for any one of them. But on our qualifying, I'm not having it that France is going to be an easy one. On our qualifying, we played without the captain who motivates them very well, Ezin Nekalo. So, and the girls still determined and came out top. But to the finals now that is going to come up in September, believe me, yours sincerely. I know the teams that are putting their ass together. The girls are determined. They have the dying heart, they play like there's no tomorrow. And I know they want to make, or we will make, a world history this time around. After playing for the Olympics, I know the girls are going to go places.
That's Stella Agu Nkwezuma, the former captain of Nigeria's national women's basketball team, nicknamed the Tigress. And Stella spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Prince Nesta joins us now with weekend English Premier League football highlights. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sunny. Senegalese speedster Sadio Mane's first half goal proved to be enough as Liverpool secured a 1-0 victory against West Ham at Anfield. The Reds moved to within 6 points of Premier League leaders Manchester City. Liverpool boss Jurgen Klopp shared his thoughts on the match.
In the end, it was a really open game then, and we needed a bit of luck. That's completely fine. You cannot win that many games in a row if you only win the ones where you're flying. So tonight we were obviously not flying. We still won it, and I'm more than happy about it.
Thus, Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp reacting to his side's win against West Ham at Anfield. Goals from Rick James and Christian Pulisic either side of a Kai Havertz' double helped Chelsea secure a 4-0 victory at Burnley. The Blues are now 16 points behind leaders Manchester City, while Burnley stay in 18th place with 21 points. Chelsea boss Thomas Tuchel reacted to his side's win.
I think the goal helped massively today. It gave us, like I said, a lot of belief. You know what's coming when you arrive at Turf Moor, and Burnley is in the situation where they are, and make it difficult for you. The pitch was super dry. It was very, very hard for us to have a lot of ball possession, but very difficult to accelerate on the dry pitch. So it was very important to stay positive, not get frustrated. And the second half, we found the spaces better, we accelerated better, and were more decisive up front. So the front players stepped up and turned the game around.
That's Chelsea manager Thomas Tuchel's reflection on his side's winning performance against Burnley at Turf Moor. In other fixtures, Harvey Barnes scored the sole goal as Leicester beat Leeds United by a goal to nil. While goals from Ollie Watkins, Douglas Luiz, Felipe Coutinho and Danny Ings ensured Aston Villa secured a 4-0 thrashing of Southampton, prompting reactions from their manager Steven Gerrard.
First and foremost, we deserved a clean sheet. I think we had a collective unity about us today. We worked ever so hard. We were putting bodies on the line. We defended a lot of difficult set plays. And all our good play in the final third come off us really owning the pitch, and we scored 4 magnificent goals. They're all different, but they've all got major quality. And the pleasing thing for me is we control the whole game. Yes, we can play a little bit more football in the second half when we've got ourselves in a comfortable position. But in the main, I don't think anyone can take the emphatic win away from us.
That's Liverpool legend and coach Steven Gerrard reacting to Aston Villa's win against Southampton. I'll Nigerian talisman Riyad Mahrez and Kevin De Bruyne are both scored twice as Manchester City cruise past Manchester United 4-1 at the Etihad Stadium. The Citizens currently lead the standings with 69 points from 28 games, while the Red Devils are currently fifth with 47 points. Here's Manchester City boss Pep Guardiola's reflections on the win.
We play really well in the two rhythms, so we cannot play in a high rhythm. You have to be patient in the first step, knowing exactly where the space to make a build up in that rhythm. And a team like Rav tried to change the mentality from United to be more aggressive, jump more and do it there. And after that, when we are able to contact behind or close to McTominay, Fred, now it's time to run. And especially in the second half, we were really good.
United boss Ralf Rangnick also weighed in on his side's loss.
I think we played a good, at least decent, if not good, first half. We were competitive in the first half. Obviously difficult to concede an early goal. We shouldn't allow the cross to come in. We were 3-1 in that moment on our right back side. But yeah, we did. Then we came back, scored a brilliant goal ourselves. We had our moments in the first half on the counter-attack in transitional moments. Then conceded another too easy goal. And in the second half, from the very moment they scored the third one, it was difficult, very difficult game against the best team in the world in possession of the ball. If you keep chasing the balls, you concede probably a fourth, a fifth, or if not even a sixth goal. We conceded the fourth one in the last minute of the game, but in the end, it was a difficult day that showed that we still have some steps to go in order to close that gap.
That's Manchester United interim manager Ralf Rangnick following his side's loss to Manchester City in the Premier League. English striker of Nigerian descent Bukayo Saka scored a goal and provided an assist as Arsenal secured a 3-2 win over Watford in a match that was played at Vicarage Road. Martin Odegaard and Gabriel Martinelli also registered their names on the score sheet, while Cucho Hernandez and Musa Sissoko both scored Watford's consolation goals. The result now moves the Gunners into fourth place, while Watford remain 19th, 3 points behind 17th place Everton, who have 3 games in hand. Arsenal boss Mikel Arteta shared his thoughts on the match.
We know how difficult it is in this league to be in the position that we are in. We have earned it. We have come a long way as a team, and today again shows how difficult it is to win any match in the Premier League.
Reporting for the sunny side of sports, and Prince Nestor.
Thanks, Prince. Alexander Seferin, the president of European football's governing body, UEFA, says plans to hold a biennial World Cup tournament will soon be off the table. VOA's Gwen Ooten has details. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. FIFA president Gianni Infantino has made a strong case in favor of a more frequently held World Cup tournament since he proposed that the event take place every 2 years, starting in 2024. He's outlined that doubling the number of tournaments will add over $4 billion in extra revenue for FIFA. And he argued that the new format would not only improve the international calendar, but also appeal to a younger generation that wants the World Cup tournament held more often. Late last year, the 52 members that make up the Confederation of African Football voted unanimously in support of the proposal to stage the World Cup every 2 years. And while Infantino insisted that he has the backing to make the change, he's faced opposition from confederations in Europe and South America that have come out against changes to the tournament's current 4-year cycle. UEFA, the governing body of European football, has said the new schedule would create an imbalance between local, domestic, and international competitions. And the South American Football Confederation, CONMEBOL, said it would not take part if the tournament is held every 2 years. As talks continue on the fate of soccer's international calendar, UEFA President Alexander Seferin recently spoke at the Financial Times Business of Football Summit, where he expressed his confidence that plans to hold a biennial World Cup are now off the table. And he adds FIFA has come to that same conclusion following his discussion with Gianni Infantino.
Biennial World Cup is a no-go for everyone in football,
And I'm glad that now FIFA realized it as well. We are still discussing. I had a discussion with the FIFA president yesterday about it. And we absolutely admit, and we cannot say that football on other continents cannot be developed. But it should be, we should be aligned, and it shouldn't hurt European federations or South American federations. And we have discussions. As much as I heard, and I'm sure that biennial World Cup is off the table, but we are discussing, we want to help, we want to say, we cannot say European football is European football and we don't allow anything else. That was never our approach, and it will not be in the future as well. So we are discussing. I don't think it's correct that I say more now, because there are still only discussions. But I'm sure we will come to a solution very soon also with FIFA.
Saffron's comments come just weeks before the FIFA Congress are set to meet in Doha on March 31st. In a written statement, a FIFA spokesperson told Reuters the global governing body wants to continue discussions ahead of Doha on ways to improve the game globally and is, quote, engaging and debating on a solution for everyone. This year's World Cup is set to make history as the first tournament to be held at the end of the calendar year in November and December, and the first World Cup tournament ever to be held in the Middle East. And in 4 years, the number of finalists will increase from 32 to 48 when Canada, Mexico, and the United States host the first ever expanded World Cup tournament in 2026. And that is all from me, Sunny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. A 25-year-old American golfer has won his second PGA Tour title at the Arnold Palmer Invitational in Florida. George McNeely reports from Orlando, Florida.
For the second time in a month, Scottie Scheffler is a winner on the PGA Tour, capturing the Arnold Palmer Invitational presented by MasterCard by one shot over three others.
Feels great to, you know, be able to win here. To be completely honest with you right now, I'm exhausted. This golf course is a total beatdown trying to play. So, I'm very pleased I didn't have to play any extra holes today.
Arnold Palmer's Bay Hill layout was as much a winner as Scheffler on Sunday, as he began final round play 5 under par, precisely where he finished the tournament.
Par is a pretty good score on every hole out here that I can really think of. Never upset with a par. And I thought today, after the way yesterday went, I thought they'd take it a little bit easier on the golf course, but the setup was harder today than it was yesterday, which surprised me a little bit. So I kind of went into today thinking I need to shoot maybe a couple under, and you know, it turns out even was good enough. And I mean, it's the way the greens are, making putts out here is so hard. There's not a lot of friction on the greens, and with the way the wind is blowing, any little bit of a gust has such an extreme effect on the golf ball. It's so difficult.
Scottie Scheffler finishing first at the Arnold Palmer Invitational in a tie for second place, one shot back at -4, Billy Horschel, Victor Hovland, and the winner here 2 years ago, Tyrrell Hatton, who shot 3 under par, 69, while Horschel was 3 over par.
Some errors I don't usually make, and you just can't make late on a Sunday, especially in conditions like this, if you're going to try and win.
Billy Horschel in a tie for second place with Hatton and Hovland, the second round leader and three-time tour winner, was 2 over par on payday.
This one stings. My last couple of wins, I felt like it kind of came out of nowhere. This one was more like I felt like I should have won, and those sting a little.
Runner-up Victor Hovland in a tie for second place to Scheffler, who won last month in Phoenix and moves up a spot to fifth in the world rankings and first in the PGA Tour's FedEx Cup playoff standings. It's on to Ponte Vedra, longtime home of the PGA Tour, for the Players' Championship this week as the Florida swing continues. For the sunny side of sports, I'm George McNeely in Orlando.
Thanks, George. that wraps up the March 7th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington.
I get it.
And that's the sunny side of sports.